You may enjoy time outdoors, but are you taking in nature in a way that can improve your well-being? You're going to be surprised by the ways your body interacts with nature and how you can use a nature prescription to improve your health. Hello, and welcome to The Whole Health Cure, a space for trustworthy, science-based information on how you can live healthier and longer through the way you eat, move, think, and recover. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Berquist, a physician, scientist, and lifestyle medicine pioneer with over 25 years of experience in patient-centered clinical care. And I am so excited today to talk with a colleague that has earned the title Doctor of Outdoors. Dr. Melissa Sunderman is one of the most inspirational people I know. She speaks nationally about the medical benefits of daily exposure to nature and fresh air, and she practices what she preaches: running, biking, hiking, and skiing. She is a 10-time Boston Marathon finisher, 3-time full Ironman triathlon finisher, and is currently training for several upcoming ultramarathons. She's a plant-based physician, double board certified in both internal medicine and lifestyle medicine, and she's been practicing medicine for over 20 years. Dr. Sunderman is currently practicing lifestyle medicine at Canyon Ranch Wellness Resort in Lenox, Massachusetts. Melissa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, Sharon.
And I am so glad we finally have a chance to sit down. I feel like we have so many colleagues in common, and your name keeps coming up in so many different contexts. So I'm very excited to have this conversation.
Me too.
Melissa, let me just ask you, what does an ultramarathon entail?
Well, they call it ultra because it's going to be longer than a marathon, right? So a lot of these, there's 50 kilometers, there's 50K, 100 kilometers, 100 mile. And so the most that I've done is a 50 miler. And actually, I just did one last month with another colleague, Dr. Amber Orman, who is breast radiation oncology down in Florida. And so she said, hey, you want to do this with me? And I said, sure. So we did 50 miles on trails in Florida. It was absolutely beautiful. It's flat, but we had to go through mud bogs and water crossings. And it was just really great to do that with someone who is a colleague of mine through the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, but now a really close friend. And for us both to accomplish that, it was an amazing experience. So it's just about adventure. And as we know, as lifestyle medicine practitioners, like, I just want to be healthy to pursue adventure and still create adventure in my life. And if I can follow the pillars of lifestyle medicine to the best of my ability, and I can still want to take on challenges and hopefully cross that finish line, no matter what it is, if it's a running, if it's biking, if it's writing a chapter of a book, whatever that is, I just want to be able to have my health to be able to afford to do these things.
And how do you train for that?
Well, it has to fit in your life, right? So I think that Amber and I, it's really helpful to have a partner. And I counsel this with my patients a lot, is that accountability, right? And someone to do this with. And so we would literally be texting each other, like every morning we decided to do a strength training program because running, you know, and I thought, oh, well, I'm running and using my legs. My legs are getting strong. But really, it's about really focusing on resistance training and building up those muscles. And I'm in my 50s. And so in that perimenopausal time where we have sarcopenia, and so really important to do weight training. And so we downloaded an app together. And so every morning she would text me, I did the strength workout. And so I'd say, oh, Amber did it. It means I got to do it. So that really helped us keep accountable, and that we would communicate about, okay, I ran this many miles. Okay, on the weekend, let's aim for doing this. And even though I was in Massachusetts, she's in Florida, we really trained together. And so with the ultras, it's very different. I've done a lot of marathons. As you mentioned, I've done Boston Marathon 10 times and qualified for my 11th this fall. The good thing about Boston Marathon is you have to qualify, but as you get older, you get to go slower, which is good. So with the ultras, it's more of an adventure. I don't consider it a race. I don't care about my time. It's just about taking the day in. And if there's hills, you'll walk. But this one was flat, so we had to plan that every 15 minutes or 20 minutes, we would walk for a couple of minutes just to give your quads that break. And we had a nutrition plan. As you mentioned, we were lifestyle medicine. We are very plant predominant. So we made sure that we had our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I did avocado wraps. And so being out there on the course for a really long day, you want to make sure you're properly fueled and taking the time to eat. So we just took in the day. We took lots of pictures because it was gorgeous. We chatted the whole time and we made new friends along the course. And then we finally finished. And my husband is wonderful. We call him the Sherpa. He comes to a lot of my events over the years and he's been the best cheerleader. So he met us at some of the aid stations. And if we needed anything, he would get it for us. And so he was there at the finish line cheering us on. So it was an amazing experience. So Amber and I we'll do more together. We just felt so good afterwards.
Oh, it sounds like it was amazing. And just all the training. I mean, it's so impressive. It's double impressive that you do this working full time and that you're balancing this as part of your life. I think a lot of people envision one day I will have time, I'll take better care of myself. And you're such a great example of somebody who is incorporating it and living it.
Well, thank you. And I think you're absolutely right. Like if you're waiting for the right time, a lot of times there's no perfect time. And I think that as lifestyle medicine physicians, as you and I both are, it's about cultivating a lifestyle. And for me, movement is part of my lifestyle. It's not negotiable. I mean, it is if I'm injured or if there's black ice everywhere, but pretty much I know that my body wants and needs movement daily. And so there's certain days that I might have to be a little bit more creative. And if I don't have time for a run, then I'll make sure I go for a power walk in between patients at lunch or after work. So it's really taking each day as it is and not perfection, right? It's what can I do? But I know that for myself, it works best to move my body before work because I can control that. So if I have to be at work at a certain time, I know that if I want to go for a run in the morning, that means I set my alarm at this time, get out the door, go for my run, and I feel so much better afterwards. I'm so much more productive during the day. My head is in a great space. I call it my active meditation. It's just my time. In fact, this morning I was listening to one of your podcasts. So sometimes I'll listen to podcasts. Sometimes I'll just listen to the birds and just the whole universe waking up. And there's medical benefits for early light exposure. So I really encourage my patients that we're learning more and more about just getting outside. It doesn't have to be at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., but just getting outdoors for about 15, 20 minutes in the morning. We get our vitamin D levels. Starts to boost our serotonin levels. It actually turns on our melatonin clock. So that by the end of the day, we've built up the melatonin to help us sleep better. It's really good to resonate with our circadian rhythms, to be up when the sun is coming up or shortly thereafter and go outdoors and then, you know, in bed when the sun is setting. So I find that for myself, getting outdoors first thing in the morning just really sets the tone for my day.
Yeah. And natural light versus indoor light. Can you talk more about that and circadian function?
Yeah. Well, I think the outdoor light, obviously with vitamin D, right? We need that light on our skin, and we know about the health benefits of learning more about vitamin D. It's actually like a hormone, and obviously vitamin D now in my 50s, it's good for my bone health. But we do know that, and Matthew Walker, who's a brilliant sleep researcher that we all love what he talks about, and he now has his own podcast too. He really does talk about the circadian rhythms, and it's best to try to align that. And obviously, if you're a shift worker, and I know when we did residency and we had to work nights, but we didn't have a choice in that. And I have patients who work night shifts and you do the best you can. But I think ideally, we know that hormonal levels like leptin and ghrelin do better when we are going to bed in the evening and rising in the morning. And the infrared light that we get from being outdoors is really beneficial. That light can also stimulate our mitochondria, which can help boost our energy. It's good for our immune system. So really just that sunlight is so important. It's good for our eyes too. And so I encourage people that, and fortunately, when I go out in the morning, I'm not really worried about sunburns. I mean, ideally, always wear sunscreen, but we're at lower risk with the UV lights first thing in the morning. But take off, don't wear sunglasses, like get a little bit of light exposure to the eyes because that's really important.
Mm-hmm. I'm picturing you early morning in Massachusetts, and it's got to be cold out there. What is the temperature like?
Well, let me start with my quote, Sharon. I have a quote that there's no bad weather, just inappropriate clothing. And I use this all the time because I run all year round, and movement in the morning is just what I do. So I take out that conversation of like, shouldn't I? Because I think as human beings, we are amazing at making excuses. We can come up with an excuse for everything. And so if I contemplating, well, should I run this morning? This time of year, I'd say, oh my gosh, it's still dark out. Ugh. Oh my gosh, it's cold out. Oh my goodness, it might precipitate. Oh wow, it's windy out. I have a million excuses. So I take away that. I just say, hey, it's important for me to run. I have never regretted going out for a run first thing in the morning. And so all I check is I check the weather to know how to dress. And so I will look at the temperature and then I look at real feel, because here in Massachusetts, when the wind kicks up, it might be 20 degrees, but the real feel is 10 degrees. So this morning, I think my real feel was 15 or 16 degrees. And you have to remember that I run all year, so I get acclimated and I have the right equipment. So you can get outdoors, you know, so I'll wear this kind of running tights, this layer jacket. I have like a neck warmer. I have got my headlamp. When it gets really cold, I have hand warmers that I've put in, my gloves and nice wool socks. So then it's beautiful if you're dressed appropriately. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing like watching the sun come up. And I really think that so many benefits of nature, and including the sense of awe and wonder, right? And to witness the sun coming up. And when I'm out there, I know the sun is not rising just for me, but I feel like me witnessing this, it's just this gift that I get to receive that no one else is seeing. Well, they probably are. But I just think to cultivate that when we're kids, we have curiosity. We are always in amazement. And I think as we get older, we tend to not embrace that as easily. And what I love about nature is that it really makes us just appreciate that sense of awe, that sense of wonder, that sense of curiosity. When I was running this morning after finishing your podcast, it was just listening to the birds and made me think that spring is somewhere around the corner. Not sure where it is in Massachusetts right now, but I could hear the birds chirping, or I might hear, you know, because I'm kind of out in the country, but hear roosters. And it just makes me feel so alive and so connected, right? And E.O. Wilson, who talked about biophilia and just that, we are a living creature and organisms, and biophilia is just this innate connection to all things living. And I think it's really important for us to remember that and find ways to connect with nature and just being outdoors and being around trees and being around water and things like that. It's really important.
Yeah, Melissa, as I'm listening to you, I'm really fascinated by how you take in nature, right? Because being outdoors certainly is good for all of us. We all get the daylight. But how we actually take it in,
yeah,
like you said, obviously listening to a podcast while you're outside is very different than just pausing, yes, to listen to the birds. So how do you just take in nature in a way that leaves you with this energy and this vitality?
Right. And thank you for bringing that up. I think there's times that in the morning I like to, I think we all multitask sometimes. And so sometimes I want to learn when I'm out there for a run. And this morning I chose to learn. And I love being mindful in nature. And I have this exercise that I love to do myself and I love to share with my patients. And that is practicing mindfulness in nature by utilizing all five of our senses. When I talk about mindfulness and meditation with patients, sometimes that can be very intimidating because they have an idea what meditation is supposed to look like. And they think, I just can't sit there still and not think about anything. I'm not capable of that. And I said, well, that's just one form of meditation. Mindfulness is just really being present and being aware. And nature is one of the few places that we can utilize all five of our senses, what we see, what we smell, what we hear, what we touch, what we taste. And so I take them through this exercise. And in fact, I just did it. I tried to take a walk on the property of Canyon Ranch, which is gorgeous. We have our own trails. And in between morning and afternoon patients, I'll just go out. And what I first focus on is five things that I see. Be intentional about that. Today, while I was walking, I saw we still have some snow on the ground, but I could see footprints. So trying to figure out what kind of animals those were. I saw some birds flying around. We have some gray and black squirrels. So focusing on just what I see intentionally. And then I'll shift to what are four things. So it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or four things that I can hear. So again, so many times in life, we'll just get spiraled and we're not even paying attention to what we're hearing. So then focusing on what I'm hearing. Do I hear the trees rustling? Do I hear the birds chirping? What kind of things do I hear? And then go to three things that I can touch, you know, touching the cold snow, or I can still see the moss on the trees, on the forest. And then two things I can smell. And we have this fresh air out here in the woods, and those, you know, can we smell phytoncides? Maybe not, but phytoncides are phytin plant insides, these antibacterial organic volatile compounds are emitted by anything green. So these phytoncides, when we're around anything green, we're inhaling. So can you smell that? I can smell the evergreens. We've got evergreens. And then one thing you can taste. Today I tasted snow. So you want to be careful about the taste. I don't want you to eat anything poisonous. But that's a really practical tool of being present, being mindful, and taking in all of nature. So that's something that I try to practice every day and try to encourage my patients as an introduction to getting outdoors and how to be mindful.
And that's so prescriptive because I think having the tools of how do you go about taking in and absorbing nature in a way that you're interacting and getting the benefit out of
right.
it.
Right. And we know that SMART goals, so being very specific when we're prescribing behavior change and measurable and actionable, I think you're absolutely right that the more specific and prescriptive without having to be perfect, right? But just I think that people appreciate like, okay, I can follow that. That makes sense to me. And so I think fitting it to what people are able to do, and it doesn't have to be, if you've only got time for a couple of the senses, that's okay. Just go out there, maybe focus on what you're hearing and just go for a short walk.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned biophilia. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. So biophilia was originally coined by Eric Fromm, who was a social psychologist in 1973. And then most of us are familiar with biophilia from E.O. Wilson, who he published his book in 1984. And I'm going to read you his quote because I think he says what biophilia is so eloquently and so beautifully. So he describes biophilia as the passionate love of life in all that is alive. It is a wish to further growth, whether in a person, plant, an idea, or social group. So again, what that means is anything living, we have this innate connection. And unfortunately, with modern day life of conveniences, I mean, technology and conveniences, I mean, we're here on Zoom. It's wonderful for so many things. However, according to an EPA study, when they looked at Americans, about 87% of the day, we spend time inside buildings. So our workplaces, our homes, stores, schools. About 6% of the time we spend inside our car, our automobiles, transportation. So that only leaves about 7% of our day is spent outdoors. And so my goal, my degree, my medical degree is I'm a DO, doctor of osteopathy. And then it occurred to me not too long ago that DO also stands for doctor outdoors. So I've got two hats for IDO. And that really is my goal, is to advocate and educate and inspire to get that 7% up, right? And that we can get outdoors more. And also, just like so many issues in health, there's disparities. And so collaborating and working with others to make sure that nature is accessible to all, that we all have a safe place to go outdoors, that we all have affordable places to go outdoors to really reap all the benefits of nature.
What's a target amount for any individual? If we broke the percentages into minutes, what's a good target?
There has been research going on, and I read about this all the time because it's something I'm so passionate about. Really, about 20 minutes per day is your goal. And that can be broken up. So if you've got like 10 minutes in the morning where you can be outdoors and you're like, okay, like during my lunch break, I can go outdoors. Maybe while my kids are at soccer practice, I can go for a little walk. So about 20 minutes per day and or 120 minutes per week, okay? That is when they looked at studies and what we have learned in even the early studies of Shinrin Yoku, which was Dr. King Lee in Japan when he did his early studies, looking at Shinrin Yoku forest bathing and time spent out in nature, we see decreased levels of cortisol, decreased levels of heart rate and blood pressure, increased levels of natural killer cells, which are involved in our immune system. What they found was 20 minutes per day, we could see those benefits. And there was a study at the University of Michigan done that really looked to identify what those quartiles were. And so they looked at 1 to 10 minutes outdoors, 15 to 20 minutes, 40 to 50 minutes, where they saw the greatest drop in cortisol beyond that diurnal, because we know that cortisol goes up and down throughout the day. The biggest drop in beyond diurnal effect was that sweet spot about 20 minutes per day. So I think that that's, I want to believe that that's attainable, right? That's not asking for this huge number. And then there was another study that looked at, could you, if you're working a couple jobs, got a busy family life, your job is indoors, like you just can't get out during the week. Let's say you pack that 120 minutes in on the weekend, you do 60 minutes going to the park with your kids or a hike, they found that the benefits there too. So you can't be a weekend warrior. And when they looked at minutes per week, again, you really want to aim for 120 minutes per week. The benefits continue to increase to about 200 to 300 minutes per week. And then, and this is looking at overall well-being, and then leveled out about 300 minutes per week. So don't feel like you have to, if you want to, like my goal is I'd want to be outdoors all day if I could, but I've got responsibilities in life and I love taking care of patients. So unless I move my medical office outdoors, you know, I'm indoors, but you don't really need to go out beyond 300 minutes if you're looking for the health benefits and the well-being effects of it. So shooting for about 20 minutes per day is what the research does support.
And that's encouraging because sometimes it's just raining and being outdoors may not be an ideal day. So the ability to clump that time on the nicer days and still get the same benefit. And the implication, just to kind of spell that out and reiterate, because I think it's so important, is with the lower cortisol, the lower heart rate, the lower blood pressure, you're counteracting stress.
Yeah.
And I think that is really the crux of it, right? Because we're not only indoors, but we are living pretty hard, stressful lives. And I think for a lot of people, the number of things to do to manage that seem to be a finite toolkit, right? Like you mentioned, meditation is one, but being outdoors is just so underutilized as a therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a study that came out fairly recently from Finland. They had about 6,000 subjects and they followed and tracked people's time spent outdoors. And what they found was that going outdoors on a regular basis actually affected medication use. And they found that patients needed less of their blood pressure medication, asthma medication, and mental health prescriptions just by being outdoors. And so we think it's this multifactorial of decreasing our cortisol, boosting our immune system, decreasing our heart rate and blood pressure, reducing our overall stress. So many added benefits. And so I'll sometimes get asked questions like, okay, it's raining out, it's really crappy weather, or I don't live in a safe place where I feel like I can go outdoors. What if I'm just like listening to sounds, nature, you know? And you're not getting, if you're not outdoors, you're not getting the benefits of like the sunlight with the vitamin D, or you're not inhaling the phytoncides, but there are benefits. There was a study that looked at subjects and exposed them to sounds for 6 minutes. So either they heard 6 minutes of bird song, so these beautiful melodies of all these birds singing to each other, or 6 minutes of urban sounds, so sirens and horns and just all these really urban sounds. And what they found was the bird song group had lower levels of anxiety, feelings of anxiety, lower levels of paranoia. And conversely, the sounds of those loud, urban, disturbing sounds had increased feelings of depression. So if anything, if you're not able to get outdoors, just I've got on my iPhone that I go to sleep at night and I'm listening to like waves and birds chirping. So even sounds like that can be beneficial. And then just viewing nature can be beneficial. There was a study done back in like the 1960s, and this was looking at in the hospital setting, and it looked at post-cholecystectomy. So people who had the gallbladder removed surgically. And some of the subjects had windows facing beautiful, lush courtyards with flowers and trees and bushes. And then others, their window faced basically a brick wall, right? And no view. It was just like the other side of the building. And what they found was that the patients who had windows viewing this lush nature had shorter stays in hospitalization, required less pain medication. And the nurse's notes reported that they were more well-behaved. So talk about with hospital design, we're all about, you know, people want length of stay. I was a hospitalist for many years and it was all about what's your length of stay average. So, hey, if we put windows in beautiful courtyards, we can improve that length of stay right there and just have quicker recovery in our patients. So a lot of amazing, I just find this absolutely fascinating. And as Dr. Outdoors, I say that prescribing nature is likely my favorite prescription to prescribe. And I'll tell you why. One, it is one of the most affordable medications, right? A lot of times it's free. When I went outdoors for my walk at lunchtime, it was completely free. I just walked out, made sure that I had a coat and some boots on. Medications, we hear about the cost of medications and co-pays, and it's astronomical and there's disparity involved. So I think being able to step outside and again, really trying to get access to green space in nature and blue spaces for all. Secondly, side effect profile. So I think all of your listeners probably have seen a commercial or read a magazine article and the list of possible side effects, everything from a rash to you could die, all of these possible side effects. And I see with nature, pretty much 99.99% of my side effects are beneficial. You might get stung by a bee once in a while, or you might, I don't know, roll on poison ivy accidentally, but the majority of my side effects are going to be beneficial. And then third is the duration. And as a fellow physician, most medications our patients are taking are once a day, sometimes twice a day, sometimes three times a day. Very few medications are monthly. We have some osteoporosis drugs that maybe just once a month, or injectables and that maybe people just have to take once a month. Majority have to take every single day. So the early studies with Dr. King Lee and Shirin Yoku and forest bathing is that he looked at natural killer cell activity, so our immune system, and he always sometimes had it drawn at baseline. And then one day, 2 day, they left the forest on the second day, but then he measured natural killer cell activity levels on day 7 and day 30. Day 30, 1 month later, they still had elevated natural killer cell activity from baseline. So my prescription for nature exposure lasts at least 30 days and maybe beyond. So that is why I absolutely love my prescription.
And the immune system benefit, like you just said, of natural killer cells lasting 30 days. I mean, that can help so many diseases.
Absolutely.
Right? In a way that medication won't. So it just speaks to how powerful it is. And it's interesting you say that, Melissa, because there are, of course, six other pillars of lifestyle medicine. And I was wondering what drew you to nature, because there's power in nutrients, there's power to sleep, to stress management. What drew you to nature as the pillar that you feel so strongly about?
Yes. So I am passionate about all six pillars, and then my seventh unofficial pillar that I'm working very strong to become a seventh official pillar. I think when I look at, you know, I'm in my 50s and coming to this authentic place, and outdoors and nature has just always been so important to me. When I think about life and ups and downs of life, nature was always there for me and I always felt better. Right. At, I might be a basket case in life and I would go outdoors and I'd go for a hike or I'd go for a run and I would come back feeling recharged and grounded. And so it started from a very authentic place. And then I love being outdoors. So I love to bike and hike and camp and ski. And so a lot of activities that I love to move my body and discover things happen to be outdoors. And so just that together, and I just started checking into the, like, does our research to support what I feel intuitively is so important and crucial to me? And I should say, this is intuitive and it's been around for many cultures, I know, but now we're doing the research, right? Because a lot of times people won't truly believe it until there's a research behind it. And now we are collecting the research. And I submitted an abstract from the American College of Lifestyle Medicine last year. And I was accepted. And so I was able to speak right after the luminaries, Dean Ornish and T. Colin Campbell. And then I got on the stage to talk about nature. And I got so much positive feedback. And what was surprising, and I guess it shouldn't be surprising because 7% of our day is only spent outdoors, is that 2,000 people at our conference, right? And most of them healthcare professionals. And a lot of people were like, I had no idea. So I think that I feel like it's my role and my passion to just educate people about this simple thing about going outdoors and just all the benefits. And what I love is that it complements all the other pillars, right? Anything when we talk about gardening outdoors, anything that I'm growing outdoors is wonderful. It's going to fall within our pillars of lifestyle medicine. So many wonderful ways to move our bodies, which is another pillar. When we're outdoors, and I said early morning light exposure boosts our melatonin, our circadian rhythm, we're going to sleep better. You know, risky behaviors, probably when you're hiking in the mountains, you're not going to light up a cigarette, right? And what I've talked about with stress management, another one of our pillars, that it just helps manage our stress and our lower our cortisol, and connection, right? Nature is nothing like nature to experience, like when I ran that ultra with Dr. Orman, to experience that together. So I feel like spokes on a wheel, they all help this wheel revolve. We need all of those pillars. And for me as a DO and Dr. Outdoors, this is just one that I'm very passionate about.
I heard you speak and I thought it was just such a fantastic talk. And you had mentioned in that talk resources. Can you share those as well?
Absolutely. So I will share something that I'm very excited about. I am collaborating with a woman named Iris Rosen, who is about to launch a web-based app called Nature Time. And she had reached out to me because she saw, I think, some posts on LinkedIn and was very interested in my passion and advocacy for nature. And so this is a whole application that can be used as education for how to spend time outdoors and tutorials on how to do it. There's even a way to prescribe nature. And so I'm doing content from that where I will be outside and I might talk about my 5-4-3-2-1, or I might teach how to deep breathe and just providing vlogs and content. So that's really exciting that we're hoping that people will be able to utilize that. Both healthcare professionals can give that to their patients, but also individuals will have access to that. So that's super exciting. There's other areas that I've been looking at with and getting to know people. And there's Nature Prescriptions Park RX here in this country where people can prescribe nature. There's Walk with a Doc that does wonderful. They've been around and they get people outdoors walking in groups. Up in Canada, they have parks and they have social prescription for nature prescribing. Edinburgh, Scotland is doing this. We're seeing this in the UK. So we're starting to see more and more programming about that. Bart Foster is a gentleman, an entrepreneur who wrote the book Business Outside. And his goal is to get the C-suite, all the executives out of the boardroom into nature to learn how to be creative and curiosity and collaborate. So he takes groups of these, takes off their suits and puts on hiking poles. And then, oh gosh, there's a podcast called Nature of Wellness with Mark Campbell that he just launched this. I was a guest on there a couple months ago, and he's just bringing in people who love wellness. So we're starting to start to see more and more of this. There's a woman, Becca Katz, who has Good Natured Learning, who is trying to bring nature learning into the school systems, knowing that for children who maybe don't have access at home, they're spending time at school, and how do we get this into the education system? So I'm meeting wonderful people with a lot of energy and how we can bring this to each and every individual.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put in a plug for people listening to follow you on Instagram, Motivator Melissa, and just get inspiration from your posts.
Thank you. And I'm on LinkedIn too, and I do a lot of content on LinkedIn as far as nature. So feel free to link in me as well.
Yeah. And Melissa, is there something that we haven't gotten to that you'd like to share? Like if you wanted, really, if you were talking to your patients and there was one thing you really wanted them to know, what would it be?
So I think I'm going to come back to that quote, there's no bad weather, just inappropriate clothing. And I think just trying to break down barriers, right? And this doesn't have to be, I need to go for a 20-minute hike up a mountain. No, this can just be going out on your front porch and just listening to birds in the morning and just being present. And I think the other thing that I strongly believe, and this is actually a quote from Rich Roll, and I just love it. The quote is, mood follows action. And I think so many times we think, I don't really feel like doing that, whether that's moving your body, whether that's cooking a healthful dinner. So if we take the action first, our mood likely follows. And for me, and what I advocate for is go outdoors, preferably if you can move your body outdoors, that's even better. And then your mood follow that. And I pretty much guarantee 99.9% of the time, your mood will improve after you take that action. So that's what I, just those little bit of snippets that I try to encourage my patients.
That's such great advice. Hopefully we can all do better than 7%.
Yes, I agree.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much. It's just so fascinating hearing about forest bathing, the effect on our immune system, the effect on cortisol, the stress response, the biophilia, and how we interact with nature. I think that we don't think about it, and to your point, as a pillar of how we can use our lifestyle as medicine, it probably is the most underutilized or probably the least well-known or promoted. So thank you for all the work you do, for all the awareness that you bring to it, and your energy.
Well, thank you. This has been wonderful being able to chat with you and to spread the word.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and share it with a friend. Until next time, do something to help improve your whole health naturally.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent.